Chapter 68. 2 miles from the Minerve, another submersible drifted slowly downward. It was scorched and silent.
Would it help if I got out and pushed? Rudy asked.
It might, Kurt said. Kurt and Rudy had been controlling the Griffin remotely from the submersible while it hung from the crane over the transom of the boat. They'd held on until just before the final missile impact, when Rudy had pressed the button to release them from the crane. They'd dropped free just before the explosion, but the fire had toasted the exterior, coating the submersible in burns. While the shockwave battered the sub, no mortal damage had been done, but the submersible had been shaken so severely that the computer-based systems had shut down. Going through the restart procedure for the third time, Kurt finally got the power restored and the systems up and running. Lights on the control panel came to life, followed by the subsurface comm system.
We are completely surrounded. If you're out there, now would be a good time to show up and render assistance.
Your plan seems to be working perfectly, Rudy said from the co-pilot seat. If it includes us nearly getting incinerated and the Trouts coming under attack with only the creaky hull of an old submarine between them and certain death.
The plan was to buy Paul and Gamay some time while lulling Tessa into thinking she'd killed us, Kurt replied.
I never intended our deception to come that close to reality.
She has to have counted us out by now, Rudy said, so that part is a success.
I'm sure she has, Kurt said, pushing the throttle forward. He got his bearings and turned toward the Minerve's position. Time for us to surprise her by returning from the dead.
Volk watched the new team of men descending toward him. The grenade-tipped spears they carried wouldn't be enough to destroy the submarine, but they would be more than enough to put the last of the Numa operatives out of their misery.
Predator team, he called out, stop your descent 70 feet above the Minerve's hull. Be ready to unleash a barrage directly into the opening.
The divers did as ordered, forming up high above the hull of the old submarine. As they got into position, Volk cycled through various channels on the aquatic communication system. There were only so many frequencies used for underwater radio. The Numa divers would be using one of them.
Numa personnel hiding in the Minerve, he announced. My name is Volk. I wish to discuss terms of your surrender.
He repeated this greeting on a dozen different channels before finally getting a response.
You'll be the one begging for a chance to surrender when the U.S. Navy arrives, a woman's voice said.
We'll be long gone by then, Volk assured her. As for you, they can either arrive to rescue a couple of forlorn survivors or to pick up your broken and battered bodies. The choice is yours.
I'd tell you what you can do with that offer, the woman said, but my parents taught me to act like a lady, even when I didn't want to.
Volk almost laughed.
Let me demonstrate what's about to happen here, he said, before switching channels.
Predator leader, fire a single charge. Target the hull beside the opening.
Up above the Minerve, one of the divers shouldered his spear gun, tilted his body to aim, and pulled the trigger. The thick elastic cords released instantly, propelling the iron spike with its explosive tip downward. It traveled 60 feet on its momentum and then continued forward, assisted by a burst of gas from a small canister in the tail. The rounded tip of the spear hit the Minerve, detonating in an orange flash and sending a reverberation through the submarine's hull and the waters around it. Had they been asked, the divers would have said 70 feet of clearance was not enough, as the shockwave hit them with the strength of a solid punch. Inside the Minerve, the impact was louder and more painful, even with the hull to deflect most of the blast. Volk allowed the water to clear before he switched back to the Numa radio channel.
That was a demonstration. Assuming you can still hear me, I renew my offer to let you simply swim away. Otherwise, the next grenade comes through the opening, and it won't be the only one we fire.
Go pound sand, the woman said.
Show her we mean business, Volk ordered.
The other 3 men on the Predator team moved into position, a little higher and a little farther away. They raised spear guns and took aim.
Look out! One of them shouted.
From out of nowhere, Several high-speed projectiles the size and shape of American footballs came rushing toward them. Two men were hit, one firing his spear as he tensed, the other taking a headshot that cracked the glass of his helmet. The man with the shattered helmet began swimming upward. The others turned to track the danger, only to see the small objects coming back their way for another ramming attempt. "They're just sea drones," Volk said. "Ignore them." Barely had the words left Volk's mouth when the discus jerked violently forward. The impact was sudden, forceful, and unstoppable. He knew in an instant it wasn't caused by a sea drone. He snapped his head around. Another submersible, one of the Numa designs, had rammed him and locked onto his stern, using its front claws. It was pushing the discus forward, driving it away from the Minerve and down. Volk's reactions were quick. He pushed the throttle to full and grabbed the control stick. The discus was larger and more powerful. Once he got free of the grasp, he would punish the fools who'd attacked him. With the throttle at the firewall, the engine revved quickly and the intake at the nose began gulping seawater. Volk pushed the stick to the side, but the attacking submersible refused to let go and it continued to shove Volk deeper and deeper. Only at the last second did Volk realize the danger. He yanked the controls in the other direction, trying to twist free, but it was too late. The Numa vessel drove him into the sandy bottom and kept pushing. The water intakes for his propulsion system gulped huge helpings of silt, and the turbine cried out with a painful screech before shutting down. He was trapped, with the nose of his sub buried and the engine drowned in sediment. "Woods," he called out on the radio. "Where are you? We're under attack. I need help. Woods!" The Numa submersible gave him one last shove, pushing the front end of the discus even farther down before releasing its grip and speeding away. "A little late to call AAA," a voice told him over the radio. Volk could hardly believe what he was hearing, but as the Numa submersible raced by, his eyes confirmed it. Kurt Austin was alive and well, and manning the controls of the submarine that had just bested him. A few hundred yards from where the discus lay stranded on the bottom, a different type of battle was being fought. It was more ballet than brute force. The divers with the explosives-tipped spears were spinning and turning and kicking furiously. The drones, controlled by Paul from within his suit, were buzzing around them like hummingbirds, too fast and too small to grab, and way too close to hit with an explosives-tipped spear. One of the divers found himself getting dizzy. Another took a direct hit to the stomach, doubling him over, knocking the wind out of him. "Smash them when they come in," the team leader said, demonstrating with the butt of his weapon. This method proved effective at deflecting the drones, but they were hardy little machines and they kept coming back for more. Finally, the lead diver had had enough. He stopped fighting and dived back toward the Minerve. As soon as he had a clear shot, he leveled the spear gun and fired. The explosives-tipped spear tracked downward and just off target, hitting several feet behind the conning tower and blasting a cloud of silt through the water. Though he'd missed, the explosion was effective. The drones stopped their maddening attacks and buzzed off in opposite directions. "Hit the submarine," he ordered. "Hit it hard!" As he loaded a second spear into his gun, his men launched their attack. One spear hit near the stern of the Minerve, while the second exploded only inches from the opening. The rolling shockwaves rattled the divers and had to be absolutely debilitating to the people inside the Minerve. Proof came as a wave of bubbles erupted from the opening, followed by a yellow lifting bag that squeezed through the gap, expanded, and then floated toward the surface. Dangling beneath that bag was a 3-foot-long metal cylinder with bands around each end.
"That's the canister," the lead diver shouted. "Grab it!"
Breaking into a furious swim, the diver led his comrades toward the slowly rising bag. Before he could reach it, the Numa submersible that had forced the discus into the bottom emerged from the opaque blue background. It raced toward the lifting bag, grasped the lines stretching between it and the canister, and continued forward. The bag folded over the top of the submersible while the forward motion caused the canister to be pulled up beneath it. The lead diver reacted on instinct, firing his spear gun and being blown backward as the explosives-tipped shaft hit the Numa sub and detonated.